This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
St. Louis unable to clear it out. Here's Norris, 2-on-1 down low, sends it across, scores! Norris with the feed, Oslin with the finish, and Buffalo's up 1-0.
Never lose again. This team will never lose again.
McLeod centers in front, scores! Benson in front of the net as that puck popped up into the air, and the Sabres with an early goal here.
Pretty good.
Come back in this game. Here's a turnover in front. Oh, that did not go in. That looked like the Blues had it, and an empty netter for Buffalo down at the other end to seal it for the Sabres.
Nine times.
It's a war path.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Producer Joe Cali pulling out all the stops on that open. Hurricane 2000. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Getting to assistant head coach Seth Appert in a moment here on the Western Hotline. It is cold out. The real feel, at least according to my app, is -7. Right now, it is snowing, so drive safe on the roads. If you're staying home, today might be the day for it because the weather's starting to pick up here, at least in the Amherst area. So, News Radio 930 WBEN for all your weather updates, our sister station down the hall if you need that. Joining us now on the Western Hotline is Seth Appert, a Sabres assistant coach, as the Sabres are on a 9-game win streak. His appearance brought to you by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. Good morning, Seth. Probably a little bit warmer where you are. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, certainly looking at the size of the waves and the water yesterday in Buffalo, I think it's a little better here in Dallas.
Yeah. So is this the, before we get to the team itself, in your hockey career, is this the longest or coming up on the longest win streak you've been a part of? It's got to be close to the top.
Yeah, it's close. I think we had one a little longer when I was with the U.S. national team and one a little longer when I was at the University of Denver. But
okay.
But this is right up there. And I think the great thing about it has been the different ways that we're winning and how we're finding ways to win close games, which is a great sign.
What would you say common thread-wise you've seen throughout this streak? I think your team's getting a lot of credit for the compete level really being turned up. And you mentioned like finding different ways to do it. What have you seen that's kind of been, you know, common throughout the entire streak here?
I think the commonality is the resilience that you need to have to win close games. You know, you're not going to have your A game all the time. You're right now at the schedule in the NHL, you're playing pretty much every other day. And so, you know, last night was a good example of what I mean by the resilience. We score to go up 1-0, but then they come back and they score 2 and outplay us, you know, a little bit in the rest of the first period. And so now you're entering the second period. You're down 2-1 on the road against a really good defensive team. And it took 15 minutes in the second period to tie it up. We were really good in the second, outplayed them. But what I liked about our group right now is that we're not chasing offense. I think, you know, earlier in this year, last year and other years, like when I was in Rochester watching the Sabres, you're down 2-1 and you're playing good, but you're not getting that tying goal. And you start to chase the game a little bit, and then you give them a free goal or an odd man rush to go up by 2 or 3, and then the game gets away from you. We're doing a really good job of not letting games get away from us, keeping the game close, and not chasing offense right now.
Seth, I wanted to ask a little bit about the goaltending you guys have gotten during this streak, and it's not just coming from one guy. It's been both UPL and Alex Lyon. How much does the confidence of your team, especially maybe offensively, feed off the fact that when they get big saves, you know, it's kind of the easy way to turn around and start and getting some momentum on offense is getting that big save on the other side.
Well, it's been huge. Lyon and Pekalukinen have been outstanding. You know, and I think that goaltending, you know, is the ultimate equalizer in any game, you know, for your team. And so, you know, and it's also the way it makes you feel. You know, when a goalie gives up a goal, the mistake becomes magnified. The player feels worse about the mistake he made in front of him. Sometimes the coaches feel worse about the player because the mistake ended up in your net. And when a goalie makes a save, it's a little bit more of a teaching moment. It's a little bit more of a learning moment of, hey, we can't do that again. And you learn and you move on. And so they're giving us really high-quality goaltending. They're making our opponent earn their goals, and they're giving us a lot of confidence in front of them.
Seth Appert with us on the Wester Hotline. Seth, one thing that I've noticed in especially the last two games, but you've seen a lot of it, I think, throughout the entire streak, your team goes on these runs. I feel like the second period, both last night and against Boston, were maybe prime examples of this, where your team goes through these long stretches where it just feels like they never give up the puck. And, I mean, how important is that for a team to have not just, you know, that ability, because you're not always going to score on those shifts. Even the third period last night was this too, wasn't it, where you got a team on the other side that's down a goal, and, you know, best defense is the best, or the defense is the best offense is one saying. I feel like the best defense there was just your team never let them have the puck, so they can't get a lot of scoring chances.
Yeah, that's a great point, and you're exactly right. And, you know, but the key to that, and I think that's probably a difference right now versus earlier in the season or last year, is it's possession and it's offense without as much dramatic a risk. And I think that is a huge, huge difference. You know, we have a team designed to be a possession team. Our D-core is designed to be a breakout machine with how mobile and active our D-core is. And I think that, you know, we have a better understanding now. We need our defensemen to be involved in our offense, both from the breakout and neutral zone through into the O zone. I think our forwards are doing a better job of covering for our defense when they're involved, and not allowing our D's in the rush, not just selling out for that one rush, and then it becomes a rush coming back the other way. And that allows our D to stay in, to be aggressive, because they have a little more trust right now that our forward group is going to replace them when they're active and involved in the play.
That's something where, you know, like Dahlin gives you that, Power gives you that. I feel like that's something that maybe Samuelson hasn't been known for throughout his career, that it feels like you're getting that from him too now.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. He's had a heck of a year. You know, certainly I have you know, probably a little bias with Sammy. I've coached him since he was 16 years old, and he's always had this. What Sammy has, he has non-flashy offense. I think he's getting rewarded for it right now a little bit more because of how good he's playing. But he's always been very capable offensively, very good with the puck, really good joining the rush. It's just sometimes that hasn't always turned into offense. And right now, some of those plays are ending up in the back of the net. But I think when you have the confidence that he has right now, you're starting to see a little more of that. But like I said, I also think he has – our forwards are earning the trust of players on our back end. And so a player like Matthias feels more confident activating offensively if he knows that our forwards are going to cover for him and it's not going to be something that looks bad going the other direction.
Seth Lindy's talked a lot about one of the reasons being this team kind of finding their stride now is you guys getting healthy. I wanted to ask you about Josh Norris and sort of his presence since re-entering the lineup after, you know, getting injured on opening night. What does he sort of mean to this offense as a whole. And obviously the other night, I mean, you know, breaks a stick and dives down on the ground and gets a huge block. It's not to say he hasn't been making an impact on the defensive side, but it just seems like his presence on the offensive side is really, I don't know, is calming the right word for him, Seth?
That's a great word. That is a great word for him. I agree with Lindy. We saw signs of this throughout the season for our team, but either we couldn't get it over the top, or maybe we were a little thin. We had too many guys on our lineup, whatever that is. But with Norris, he's a different player than we have up front. We have a lot of good forwards and a lot of dynamic forwards. You talk calmness. He's a little calmer and a little more controlled and a little more cerebral than a lot of our other forwards. And so he's a very good fit. He doesn't get enough credit. I like what you mentioned about the diving block shots. And he doesn't get enough credit for how competitive or how good defensively he is, because he does it in a much more controlled manner. It's not a violent manner in terms of his defense. He does it more with his mind and his positioning, and he is a different style of forward that brings a control and a calmness to our group, which has been huge for us.
Seth Eppert with us on the Western Hotline. Seth, it feels like the lines have been together for a good amount here and have been building continuity, have been all really, especially the top three. You know, the fourth line's changed a little with Greenway going in and out. But that top three, everyone's contributing offensively, seems like on a night-to-night basis. Is it tricky figuring that out with Zucker getting close to returning to the lineup? Because he's a guy that will produce for you. But, you know, there would also be an argument, I'm sure, to not wanting to change things as the team keeps winning.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And there'll be a time when that happens. You can't be afraid of change. Just because we're playing good right now, we're a better team when Zucker's in our lineup. We're certainly better offensively. We're certainly better on the power play when he is in there, and he's going to be back here soon. So, but there is an argument to be made for the continuity of lines and probably more so, I think, is right now we have very good balance. We don't have a loaded up top line, and then we rely on them to do all the scoring, and then everything else comes secondary. Right now, we have three very balanced lines offensively, with a heavy checking line. That Greenway, Dunn, and Malin's team have done a fabulous job giving us quality minutes right now and playing in the offensive zone. So the balance to our lines is really good right now, and I think that plays into what you talked about earlier in the second and third period, that we're able to roll four lines at teams and eventually turn the games over because our depth is really good right now.
Yeah, I was looking at ice time last night. I think every line was within like 2 minutes of each other, so it was pretty balanced last night, especially. Some of the young guys in the lineup, Seth, Noah Oslin continues to play, feels like consistently a good brand of hockey, and he's doing it in different positions. Him on the wing and doing it, again, like kind of a top six role. I know you kind of got three lines that are pretty balanced up top. How surprising, I guess, for you is it that he has jumped from the AHL to the NHL? And again, it feels like he's not one of these young guys that's like, oh, you're seeing a flash and then he disappears for a week and then another flash. Like night to night, it seems like from the outside that he's giving you what you want.
He's a really good player. I mean, there's a reason that, Mike Leone just raved about him last year. There's a reason that the Swedish national team coaches raved about him. He was a captain for the Swedish national team. He's a player you feel good with in your lineup, as good offensively as he is. He is as good defensively, very, very intelligent player, which allows him to play up and down your lineup. It also allows him to play multi-positions. His versatility is a strength in that, Lindy trusts him to be out there in a 5-on-6 situation because it's not his physical strength that is there yet. He's not even there from a perspective of that just because he's a young man. But his positioning and his intellect as a hockey player is extremely high. which allows us to rely on him in a bunch of different situations.
And then what about Benson playing maybe a little bit higher in the lineup at times this year? He's given you value, Seth, over the last couple of years, but this year it feels like the points are starting to go a little bit higher.
Yeah, and the funny thing about Benson is he's younger than Oslin and Kulik.
Right.
But because he's been here for a few years, you know, it's easy to forget that. And so he's still a really just emerging, developing player as well. Benson's a junkyard dog, and you just it's really hard not to love him. He's a guy that you love having on your team. You probably dislike at a high level when you play against him. He's an adjutant. He's around the net front. You know, our game-winning goal the other night by Samuelson, that doesn't go in if he doesn't take two defensemen to the front of the net, take a cross check to the head, and provide that screen on the goaltender. And so he's getting more offense. Obviously, the game-winning goal is an underrated play by him. He's dropping behind the net, anticipating McLeod to change sides behind the net. Mm-hmm. And I think 9 out of 10 players, you know, in the NHL, really, when that goes back out front, they do a little bit of a loop into the corner. He hits the edges hard and stops on the back post and then is rewarded by showing his skill and knocking it out of midair. But it's really the skill overshadows the habits and the mentality to be on the inside and get to the hard areas that allowed that goal to happen.
Yeah, and you can see, I mean, the Samuelson goal against Boston, you've got Lindholm and another one of the Bruins defensemen who are probably a foot taller than him, like couldn't get rid of him from the front of the net. Almost feels like because he's so low, that maybe that makes it harder too. Like he's just, it feels like it's really tough to get rid of him when he's in those areas.
Yeah, you know, the center of balance certainly can help some of the smaller guys in those areas at times.
Yeah.
But you have to have a will to be there. There's nothing easy about being at the front of the net in the National Hockey League. You're going to take cross checks. You're going to get you're going to pay a price. And he is 100 times out of 100, he's willing to pay that price for us.
Lastly, Seth, before we let you go, the standings, I don't know how much you're looking at it, but it is pretty wild to look at the East right now, and maybe this is why it's so important to have this streak and keep it rolling, that there's only 4 points separating last in the conference from that final playoff spot, which you guys are now tied for at the moment. So I don't know if this adds to it at all, but it feels like maybe there's extra pressure in the conference right now just because there are so many teams that are still in it.
The Eastern Conference is really impressive right now. You know, there's no poor teams. Everybody's either good or really good. And so that tightens everything up. We don't spend a lot of time. The guys are smart. They know where it is. They know the standings. But I think our staff, led by Lindy, we're more process-driven. You know, we believe even, you know, 10 games ago, you know, we believe if you do the right things, you have the right habits, you do the right things in practice, in the weight room, and in games, that leads to long-term success. You know, but with understanding and awareness of where we're at, and pro sports is about winning. So I think what we've done now is we've put ourselves in position. But, you know, there's a lot of hockey remaining. You know, we got 44 or whatever it is games left. And so we're just taking a one game at a time mentality. And our mindset is to try to get better today in practice and then prepare ourselves to give ourselves the chance to win against one of the best teams in the NHL tomorrow night.
And that's the Stars. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock in Dallas. Seth, thanks for joining us, and good luck tomorrow night.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Seth Appert on the Western Hotline, Sabres and Stars, 8 o'clock. We'll have pregame here on WGR starting at 7 o'clock. As he mentioned, Dallas is really good. Dallas is probably frustrated, though, because they are 25-7-7 on the year. Sounds like a pretty good record, right?
Yep.
That's actually, is that second best in the NHL? It is. Second best in the NHL. Guess how far out of number one in their division they are. 8 points.
Oh, jeez.
Because the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
It's December 30th. Do you know their record?
No.
Guess how many games they've lost in regulation this year?
3.
2.
Jeez.
You went high with 3.
Yeah.
They're 29-2.
I was being conservative.
29-2-7. Two times after 60 minutes, they've lost. And Dallas, who would lead the Eastern Conference by 6 points, is in second place in their division.
Wow.
By a mile,
yeah,
also.
That's crazy.
So it's a big challenge tomorrow night. And maybe they're up to it. I think it's going to be a lot tougher than some of the teams they've played lately, though.
It'd be a good test, though.
Sure. It's the best team I think they'll have played. I mean, during this 9-game win streak, this is not me taking credit away from them. Because, again, a lot of teams are kind of in the middle here and
are pretty
good.
Are you trying to say they've been the Patriots?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
But of the teams they've played, Edmonton, Stanley Cup contender. New Jersey, Stanley Cup contender.
Mm, yeah.
And that's it. Everyone else is pretty good. You know, like a playoff bubble team. It's not like they're playing the worst team in the league. They did play Vancouver. That's the one team they played that's like the worst team in the league. But Dallas will be the best team they've played during this stretch. Yeah, if they win that tomorrow night, like this thing is legit. There's no ifs or like, oh, I don't know, like their expected goals here and their schedule there. Like if they beat Dallas, I don't know when their next loss will come. Well, their next two games after that are against Columbus on the road, who's in last in the East, and then Vancouver at home.
And they go 6-7 at home, by the way.
Second to last in the West.
They'll be home 6 of 7 games after that road trip.
You're right. Yep.
After these next two games, Stars and Jackets on the road, they've got 6 of 7 at home.
Right. Yes. Yeah, they play on the road at the Rangers, and that's it.
Ducks team.
And you've got some big conference games coming up.
A Panthers game, a Flyers game,
so
a Canadiens game.
They play Montreal 3 times in January. Those are going to be big games.
Huge games.
When I look at the standings, that's the team I'm staring at.
Yep.
I think they are primed to fall out. I mean, I think the Islanders and Flyers could also be those teams, Flyers especially. Sabres are at 44. The Canadiens are at 46, and they're in third in the Atlantic. And you play them 3 times in the month of January. Those are going to be big head-to-head games. Because Tampa, I can't see Tampa falling out. And Florida is getting Tkachuk back soon,
yep.
And I think they're a veteran team. They'll get in there. But Montreal, I don't think has to make it. Philly, I don't think has to make it. And again, you get 3 games with the Canadiens next month, which are pretty big. The first of which will be, I think, 05-06 night. January 15th.
Mm.
They'll need to have a 16-game winning streak to have the win streak still rolling going into that game for all the guys coming back. 803-0550 is the phone number on the Sabres. We'll have Howard picking the Bills, though, coming back. He's only got one regular season game left to pick, but we got playoff games to get to as well. So we'll pick the playoff field for him, and then we'll have him pick it. He picked them to win the Super Bowl last week. Will he pick them to win the Super Bowl this week? I feel like I'm leaning no, but I'm not sure. Howard, when we come back here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, maybe that's getting put to the test. That's up to Paul to decide for himself. I feel like now, if you ask Paul or anybody, are the Sabres going to win tonight? The answer is obviously yes, Paul, because that's all there is anymore. Nothing wrong with that, but how about all this? From the GM change, they get that overtime win in Edmonton after being on a losing streak, after blowing the 3-0 third period lead in that game, and they have not lost since. Now they're going to St. Louis and making it look close to easy. Does it make sense, Paul?
Well, actually, if somebody asked me if they're going to win tonight, I would say no, because
no game.
Playing.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
But it wasn't easy. Just in the first period, they had gotten behind. It was a pretty even period. And then all of a sudden, in the last 40 minutes, they took over. They outshot the Blues 26-9 in the last 40 minutes of the game after being outshot 9-8 in the first period. And Lyon, you know, he slammed the door. A lot of people thought maybe Lyon should have had both goals. But even if he should have, I mean, from 8:09 in the first period on, he slammed the door. That was it. That was all the Blues would get. And he made some really good saves along the way. He didn't have to make many, only 9 in the last 40 minutes, as I said. But still, especially right near the end, when he gave up the puck, he lost his catching glove and went sprawling back into the net and somehow kept it out. And just a few seconds later, Peyton Krebs scored the empty net goal to put the game away. So, it was maybe an easier last 40 minutes of the game, but the first 20, they were producing turnovers. They got their first goal because of it, Oslin's goal, but they weren't able to really score on Hoffer after that in the first period. And then the Blues kind of took the period over a little bit after that, but then the Sabres got it back.
So Alex Lyon is apparently injured. When did that happen?
Not sure. I mean, he scrambled around. I'm wondering if it was when he was scrambling around, to be quite honest with you, because he did, you know, kind of dive back and do the splits and get back in net. The empty net goal was at 18:44, so that was about the 18-minute mark that he did that. So not being there either in St. Louis or in Dallas right now, nobody really has said in trying to watch Lindy Ruff's press conference back, it skips. I don't know what's happening with the Sabres feed, but that's happened for a couple of weeks now. It just skips and you don't really get complete sentences. So I didn't really get exactly what he said about Lyon, but it is possible that they may have to activate Ellis to back up Lukanen.
I read a report that Ruff said he would be able to do that if necessary, which makes me wonder if Ellis hasn't been ready or able for a while.
No question. He's been in practice doing everything he's supposed to be doing. It's not like they've been holding him out or anything. It's been like any other practice. They just haven't activated him.
So I asked Brian Koziol this yesterday, and I'm sure I've asked this, we've talked about this together, you and I, just what is maybe the most surprising about all of this? You have to get on a roll like this. I mean, they're not blowing anybody out. The goaltending has to come with it, and that certainly happened for these guys. But would that be the most surprising thing? I don't think goaltending can ever be the most surprising thing. So what do you make of this success?
Well, I think Ruff let a goaltender get on a roll for the first time all year and use him like the number one goaltender with Lyon. Now, he doesn't appear to be doing that anymore. It looks like maybe he's going to be alternating now between Lyon, if Lyon is healthy, and Lukanen. The Lyon, if you remember, hadn't won a game since October. And then all of a sudden he got in the net, won the game, and stayed in the net and just kept winning games along the way and was playing very, very well. So I think that really helped, getting him on a roll and just allowing one of the goaltenders. And remember when I was just saying, pick one. Let one get on a roll. I mean, pick one and play one. And they did that finally, and it was Lyon. So I think that was very important. And all of a sudden they bought into what Lindy Ruff was selling, which they hadn't done in a year and a half. They did it sometimes, but not a lot. And now it's really helped them better defensively because they are much, much better with the puck. Nowhere near as many turnovers that turn into 3-on-1s, occasionally 3-on-0s, or 2-on-1s, or 2-on-0s, or breakaways. I mean, that was just constantly happening to them. And they were, you know, making their goaltender make too many big save opportunities. And they've been much, much better with the puck, especially in third periods. I don't think they've played a poor third period since Seattle. They've either been defending a one-goal lead or tied in every game since, and I think have done a really good job. Look at last night. They outshot the Blues 12-2 in the third period. And, Benson scored very early in that third period to give them the lead. And then finally Krebs put it away with the open net goal. So, they had to once again play a close play in a close game during a third period, although I thought they pretty much dominated the third period. the Blues were not in their zone very often.
So when you have like this turnaround, they've done the thing that you talked about that they needed to do, which was string wins together. So with more than half the season to go, they're basically right back at the beginning, right in the middle with Florida and the Rangers and the Devils and several other teams. What do you think of their chances now?
Yeah, well, it's not lost on them. You know, when the pregame interviews yesterday, both Bo Byram and Lindy Ruff, it's like, well, yeah, we're playing better, but we can't afford to get on any type of a losing streak because they've just gotten there now. This is the first time by points percentage they are in a playoff spot. I mean, it took them 9 straight wins. I said 10, to get back in, it'd probably take 10. I was off by 1. So right now if they're tied with Florida. Florida would have the 7th spot with the tiebreaker, and Buffalo would have the 8th spot, and they're just barely ahead of the Washington Capitals by points percentage. So right now they are in when you do it that way. And but the thing is, you're not going to win every game. And there's probably going to be an occasion where you're going to lose 2 in a row. And you're hoping that you don't string 3 or 4 in a row together. I mean, that's just the way a hockey season goes. So you had to do all this winning to get where you are right now, and you just barely are in the playoffs now. But you have to, you know, make sure that you don't get on any of these long losing streaks, that you go tumbling back down again. You've worked too hard to get where you are right now, and you have to continue to work hard to stay there.
Tomorrow night, Dallas. That is a 8 o'clock game like last night, so pregame at 7. Paul, we'll look forward to hearing you then.
I will be on with Brian. Take care.
Thank you. Paul Hamilton with us on the Wester Hotline pregame show tomorrow night, Sabres and Stars, as I just said, 7 o'clock. More after this. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres quickly, though, working their way up ice. Here's McLeod racing after it down the corner. McLeod centers in front, scores! Benson in front of the net as that puck popped up into the air, and the Sabres with an early goal here in the third period take a 3-2 lead.
9 for 9 since December 9th as the Sabres now roll into Dallas to close out 2025. Welcome in, Sabres Live. Used sparingly has been this show during the course of this win streak, and that means we have a lot to discuss looking back, but also looking ahead, Martin.
Yeah, I mean, we have so much to talk about that we decided, you know what, it's the holiday season. We're going to just condense it all into a few shows. So this week, we only, today and tomorrow, as we take, New Year's Day off. And last week was Christmas, so same thing. But a lot to talk about. And my biggest takeaway from last night, I'll start right out. I didn't think the Sabres in the first period were playing their best hockey, but I also didn't think Alex Lyon at his best. And I said to you later in the second, or maybe even in the second intermission, I'm like, the big difference here is you didn't give up the third goal. And if you keep it at 2, you're at least going to go to a shootout and you have a chance to the extra point. Mm-hmm. And that has been the big difference, not giving up that extra goal, right? And as a goalie, there's been so many of those games that maybe I wasn't feeling good early on. I give up a couple early goals and then it's like, like, kick yourself in the rear end and shut the door. Like, the team needs you. Let's go. And I think Alex Lyon did that. A couple saves in the third, in the second, and in the third, the Sabres played a perfect game, only giving up the 2 shots. Like, that was awesome.
Lyon is 7-0 now during the 9-game win streak. Goals against a 2.22 and a 919 save percentage. Of course, Luukkonen has played a role in this as well, yep, with 2 excellent wins and a goals against of 1 in that stretch. What do you think the banter was like with Lyon after the adventure preceding the empty net goal?
Well, I will say this. I know Christmas has gone and passed, but there's always a white elephant New Year's Day present exchange that could happen. And when I would run outside my crease too much, as one of the white elephant, well, it was a kind of a secret Santa because it was specific to one. JP Dumont got me a dog leash with double harness to be able to strap to the post so I wouldn't go too far out of my net. Mm-hmm. And I think that for the joke, I would give that to Alex Lyon, although he was trying to make the right play, and while he kind of lost the puck and got tangled and lost his glove, I would probably give him like bungee straps to tighten up his gloves so he wouldn't lose them. But it was an adventure, and Jimmy Snuggerud, I still can't believe he missed that. But again, like that's sometimes you gotta say, hey, we've got things going on our side, and we have to take advantage of it. Just like Tage Thompson said, when the puck's going in, mm-hmm. I got to shoot. I got to take advantage of it. It's going in. Sabres are taking advantage of it right now. It's not been perfect, but they are taking advantage of it.
They've won 9 in a row. The club record is 10, which has happened 3 times in 84, 06, and 18. They've actually won 6 in a row on the road now. And again, the club record is 10, which was done in a couple of instances in the 83, 84, and the 06, 07 season. So still some significant numbers to chase. But those are all just, you know, kind of window dressing on what is the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal cannot be attained in the month of December, but you must stay in the race. And it is almost alarming that they've won 9 in a row and are still not in the top 8 in the conference, not in a divisional playoff spot, not in a wild card spot. Although, if you chose to do so and went to the NHL website and clicked on league standings and points percentage, you would find that Buffalo is in the top 12 across the NHL, but they still have not found themselves waking up in a morning to a wild card spot this month.
Well, that's because the bottom 8 teams in the NHL are all in the Western Conference right now. There's 11 points separating Carolina and Columbus with Toronto at the bottom. So it's very tight in the Eastern Conference. But you know what? Like, I look at Nashville 2 years ago that went 14-0-2. That was their streak, right? And that got them in the playoffs. Well, you're at 9 now. Continue on. Let's go. Like, that Nashville was a 500 hockey team with a big streak, and it got them into the playoffs. And those type of streaks can really go a long way. Now, I get it. Sometimes, you know, winning streaks, losing streaks, they happen. For me, it's you're not going to win 25 in a row. It's not going to happen.
Why?
How are you always going to respond after each game, regardless of the result? And that's what I've liked about their streak right now. They go into Dallas tomorrow. They play the second best team in the NHL and the Dallas Stars. And for me, it doesn't matter that you won 9. Just focus on that one. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that has been the tale here is that, they play with confidence, and winning 9 is definitely helping that. But it's the way they're playing. They're not full of themselves. They're not just going out and say, we got to play a track meet. They actually said that yesterday after the first period was a little bit too much track meet. We had to tighten it up.
They didn't say that. They were asked a question because of Lindy's pregame words. I don't think anybody in the room thought it was a track meet.
Well, they said it. Like, it was their
quote,
but
maybe...
They
were led by questions of that ilk. I don't think any player thought that.
You know what? I wrote it, and when I wrote it last night, I was like, I didn't think it was a track meet, but maybe to them...
Shots were like 9-7. It was like, come on.
But you know what's interesting there, Duffer? Maybe to them... The way they want to play, it felt like, there was a little bit too much of, like, we had to back check a little harder, and we don't want to do that. We want to play safe. We want to have a third guy high. We want to control the neutral zone. Maybe that's what it felt like, and I like that. That it's like, I didn't think it was a track meet. You didn't think it was a track meet, but they felt like it wasn't the game they needed to play to win, which is even better.
Right. I don't think they liked their period. But there were moments within it, obviously. Even after the first couple of shifts weren't great, they went and scored the first goal and Noah Austlin got it. Anyway, the streak began in Edmonton. They've rattled off wins against the Oilers, the Canucks, the Kraken, the Flyers, the Islanders, the Devils, the Senators, the Bruins, the Blues, the latter three all since our last episode of Sabres Live, because that was done in Canada's capital leading into the final game of the break. right? And so here we are. At least I think that's
that was
right.
A Bo Byram overtime goal. Bo had two goals that game, a nice feed from Jordan Greenway that scored the first goal, but it was a battle. I felt like Ottawa was also streaking, right? The Sabres were at six straight. And Ottawa was at four straight, and now they lost three in a row. And, you know, Linus Solmark is unavailable for personal reasons right now and has been granted a leave. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Ottawa is struggling a little bit. Columbus had been struggling. Well, they find a way, you know, to win a couple. Like, it's just, it's really tight. But you're right. Like, Boston was a huge win for the Sabres. Boston now out west. They ended up with a point last night. So,
but they've lost six in a row.
Yeah, they've lost six in a row. But I mean, points are important. But with how tight the standings are, those wins, that extra point makes a big difference.
Well, Tage Thompson is the leader in points for Buffalo during this streak. In fact, he's the leader in goals, assists, and points over this 9-game run. But going back to the game before the break, it was Noah Östlund that scored along, you know, with the incredible performance of Bo Byram. And Östlund scored again last night, and he and Benson are right behind Tage for goals during this win streak with four. What does one make of Östlund's contributions in all of this? And I am full of questions, in case you didn't know. Like, I have a lot of questions as we look forward here. And I think you have to. Like, you can't just keep looking back on the nine wins. Like, it's great. But there's going to be some real questions to be answered here. What do we make of Östlund's position right now in the lineup?
Well, what I make of it is that I get it. When I write my lineup every night, I start with Thompson's line, and then maybe I go to McLeod, and then I go to Norris and Östlund, and I say, this is not a third line. This is a top nine that can play top line minutes, and Östlund has proven that he can keep up. He has the hockey IQ, and he has the production to play top line minute right now with Norris and Tuck. So it's just a matter of whether you like your matchups. How did the first period go? Maybe you switch those matchups in the mm-hmm. second. You have all that flexibility. But I think that at any moment, if you look at the ice time and you said, oh, Norris, Tuck, and Östlund led the forwards in ice time, I wouldn't be surprised. Or 5-on-5 especially, maybe not because of the special teams, but 5-on-5, mm-hmm. I think that could happen. Yeah. But at any moment, I could see McLeod's line doing it. I can see Tuck's line, Thompson's line doing it. Like, it's just a matter of that, and it gives – but that's why Norris and Östlund being back and healthy and playing the way they're playing is so important for the team.
Well,
and,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, and our poll right now on Sabres Live is basically, like, I had a hard time answering it, Duffer, because it was who's been the MVP of the 9-game winning streak? Mm-hmm. Tage Thompson, Alex Lyon, Matthias Samuelsson, or other? And I quickly thought other, because my mind was thinking Norris, Josh Norris. And then I look at the points and I'm like, oh, Norris only has 5 points in 7 games. He didn't play all nine. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, he only has 5 points. And then I look at the production from Tage. And I was like, man, he has 11 points, 5 goals in 9 games. That's far and above everybody. Mm-hmm. Samuelsson's been great, but Austin's been awesome. Dahlin's had an impact too. Byram's, and I couldn't answer. So I picked other because I think there's too many guys to mention.
Okay, but now the early results of the actual question are another story. People's way of thinking has changed here because of Buffalo's 9-game win streak, and they are looking at Matthias Samuelsson. Marty, there is no point in the history of this team that included Tage Thompson where a Thompson scoring leading stretch wouldn't result in him being the leader of this team. People are looking at this team differently right now. Tage Thompson is leading with 11 points in 9 games. He's not even got 5% of the vote. This is crazy. And let me say, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bravo.
This team differently. There are so many pieces right now that are important.
People were listening to Rasmus Dahlin when he said, I've told you for many years, he's just great. Now, I think the biggest thing is I was doing my homework yesterday is that Matthias Samuelsson is healthy this year. And we are seeing him being able to play that game. I get the offense is great. Like, he leads the rush and kicks it out to Tuck, and Tuck comes in and scores. And you're like, wow, look at Matthias Samuelsson. Leads the rush against Boston. Gets it to McLeod. McLeod drives, scores. Great. Okay. But he's already over 70 block shots this year. Mm-hmm. Okay, last year he had 93. In 60-some games last year, he had 93. He's blocking more shots. He's being more physical. He's being better defensively. He's killing penalties. He's doing all the things that, to me, would make Matthias Samuelsson valuable to start with. Mm-hmm. And then you add the offense. And I think that's why it has been great to have Samuelsson. We talk so much about who's going to play with power this year.
Yeah,
I think that the biggest difference this season is who has been playing with Dahlin and who has made Dahlin better and who Dahlin made Samuelsson better. Like, that top pair has been the biggest difference.
This might be the first year on record where I haven't missed Will Borgen not playing with Dahlin.
I was going to say that is definitely a record, going almost 40 games without a mention of Will Borgen.
Look at my personal growth in all of this. This is amazing.
But Samuelsson, it was Matthias Samuelsson that was the Will Borgen after Will Borgen, saying this is going to be the guy that should be there playing with Dahlin. But the last few years have been so tough.
And those Samuelsson numbers, I mean, even just within this nine-game window, of which they are 9 for 9, he's got 19 blocks, which leads the team, and he's at almost 25 minutes a game, which leads the team. And the offense is just behind Ryan McLeod, who is second to Tage Thompson, yeah, you know, in all of this. So there's a lot to love. Like, don't just say that, like, it is love at this point. Like, people have to love how this guy is playing. And what does it mean moving forward? Well, it means there's, even with injuries, there seems to be stability and comfort and, I would say, ongoing growth within the defense pairs right now, because yes, you're seeing it with Power and Kesselring. You're seeing it for Byram, seemingly, with whoever he plays with right now, which is impressive. By the way, Zach Metsä is 7-1-1 as an NHLer now. Yeah. So let's continue that run for him.
By the way, Metsä, I know he took a penalty, but drew a big penalty, power play with 4 minutes left, right? I mean, that was Buchnevich's stick that hit Metsä in the face.
Yeah.
Him being on the ice with 4 minutes left, like Lindy Ruff and the staff are trusting him to be out there with little time left in a one-goal game.
Right. So there's only one game left in 2025, and it's game two of this three-game road trip. And we look forward with great interest now as to how Buffalo takes on Dallas, how they close it out on Saturday against a Columbus team that has warmed up with three in a row, and then how the new year, 2026, begins, and they eventually get back on home ice and try to, you know, stay, like, in this mix of such a large cluster of teams. What do you make now looking ahead to tomorrow? And, I mean, do you want it in the form of, well, let's keep it in your wheelhouse.
Okay.
Who starts in goal tomorrow against Dallas?
That is a tough question.
I know.
I would go with Alex Lyon for me, just because I think the way that the Sabres have been treating this was almost like Lyon is your number one and Luukkonen is your 1B. And so to me, like, Lyon is 1, 7 of the 9, another quality start. I know it wasn't a quality first period, but at the end of the game, it turns out to be another quality start, not a steal. So that's 9 for 9 in terms of quality starts with the goaltending in the last 9 games makes a big difference. I would go with Lyon. But there's a side of me that tells me, like, you know what, playing Dallas was kind of like playing New Jersey, where they have a high powered offense, and maybe that's a good challenge for Luukkonen. For me, I would go with Lyon, but I mean, I'm not going to fuss about it. Like, whatever they pick, you go with it.
Okay. You've told us what you would do. What do you think they will do?
I don't want to stay silent on the radio for the next 5 minutes.
Unless there's a third, unless Ellis is magically reappearing.
No, that's not. I think they will go with Luukkonen.
I do too. So he had a nice win last year in October against Dallas. He was a hard luck loser in Dallas in splitting the season series last year. His career numbers, you know, I look at those a little more than maybe others do, are a little better against the Stars than Lions, for sure. Granted, both are relatively small sample sizes. But the beauty of this streak is everyone looks pretty good right now, and everyone has contributed. And then you try to get through. What did Dallas do to upset the schedule maker? They play on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Like, they're flying out after the Sabre game and going to Chicago to take on the Hawks on New Year's Day. What?
I know. That's there's a few of these. Nashville is playing in Vegas on New Year's Eve at 5 o'clock or something, and then they're going to L.A., I think, on New Year's Day. Like, there's some weird schedule. Like, you should never play on both. You should play on either one or the other, but whatever. It's just the way that the schedule is. The Sabres schedule, by the way, they do play Wednesday in Dallas on New Year's Eve, and then they have a couple of days before a 3 o'clock game at Columbus on Saturday. So maybe that's why the Sabres would think, let's put Luukkonen in Dallas.
Yes.
And then after that, we have 2 days so we can get a fresher Lion in Saturday. Or maybe we go back with Luukkonen because we have 2 days off. There's travel. St. Louis, Dallas is not an easy travel day too. They're traveling today. So I think that you're probably going Luukkonen tomorrow. I would assess that.
Well, it sure gets interesting. And again, like after the game tomorrow against the Stars, you only have one game in the next 5 days, and that is the Columbus afternoon game. But once you get home, it's a real neat stretch here with Vancouver on Tuesday. You get away for one with the Rangers, but then you're home against the Ducks, home against the Panthers, home against the Flyers, Habs, and Wild in what is, as we've come to expect, a typically pre-Olympic condensed stretch. And the best part is you can find yourself there and build out a 5-game pack. Today, you get savings on single-game pricing, priority access to playoff tickets, flexibility to bundle your favorite games. You can visit sabres.com/5 to purchase yours today. I mean, if you missed out over the holidays on gift-giving, like, this would be a pretty good way to, like, ring in the new year with somebody that is, you know, just angle them to make sure that you're their plus one. You know, like, get a couple of tickets, be there plus one. How about you pick the 5 games for them? Yeah. So you do it a little selfishly. There's nothing wrong with this. This is the art of gift giving, I believe.
You can do whatever you want with that, Duffer. And I'll tell you this, there is some really, really big games and fun games coming up. So I would look at the schedule for sure. And we just had Boston on the 27th, a couple of days ago, well, 3 days ago, at home, and the building was electric, and it was fun. And it wasn't just the win and the streak. The building was fun. Eric Wood banged the drum, right, on that Saturday night before the Bills were playing at home.
He may have posed with a beer saber as well.
He just chugged that beer saber as well. It was a fun night. It was definitely, everybody was entertained. That's for sure.
Another relevant question from my bag of questions. What if Jason Zucker returns tomorrow? Who comes out?
I knew that was going to be one question that may have been coming right now and saying, okay, well, what do you do with Zucker? Like, he helps the team. He can't just be on the sideline. He helps the team. I think that the one spot that I could see him coming in, okay, would be playing in the spot of Jordan Greenway for the game in Dallas. And say, let's give Greenway, like, this is St. Louis, a travel day. Let's give him a few days of just, you know, because they've been managing Greenway's minutes. And let's insert Zucker in there, playing with Dunn and Malenstein. Zucker can play that style. Maybe we give Zucker some power play time to, you know, balance it out a little bit. But that's where I see him. I'm not putting, maybe I'm putting Zucker on the top line with Thompson and Doan and moving Krebs out of there, but I think Krebs has been a good fit, and Zucker needs maybe a game or two to get going before I'm saying, let's elevate you to the top. Maybe that's the placeholder right now. It's Krebs holding the place for Zucker eventually. But right now, I think what I would look is say, give Zucker a fourth line role with a little special teams power play in the place of Greenway for one game, and then see what you want to do for Columbus.
Do you think they've decided on their goalie situation, even if that proves to be unfair to Ellis due to injury?
Yes. And it's unfortunate. Yes, I get it. But at this point right now, when Ellis is back healthy, and off of IR and everything is good, Yarmo said he's going to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And I think that you've been on a roll, and it's not even just a 9-game winning streak. I think that it's been pretty good balance. Lion Luukkonen, the last little bit here, it's working. I don't want to mix it up with a third. The goalies have talked about it. Lindy's talked about it. Everybody's talked about it. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just temporary, right? Maybe you say, okay, Ellis is going to end up make his way down to Rochester, they would have to put him on waivers. At this time, I don't know that he gets picked up. I don't think that he's played enough and there's the, you know, the injury. I don't know that he gets picked up. Maybe St. Louis says, you know what, we're picking him back up. And that's what it is. But I don't know that he would at this time. So, but even if he does, like, we're not looking, and I like Colton Ellis, and I think that he's been good in the games that he's played. Mm-hmm. But I think we got to look at what makes the Sabres better. What makes the Sabres better is to have two goalies. That's what makes them better. That's when, in the end, should be resolved.
They have won two of their last five trips to Dallas, which is not an overwhelming number, but considering they never really got a signal there for the decade prior to that, I think this is a step in the right direction. They're also against a Dallas team that is riding a six-game point streak, but has lost two in a row and, by their standards, has been marginally off over the last eight games, going 4-2-2. Oh, the concern in Dallas right
now.
Yeah,
the concern in Dallas. They're completely falling off. They're 8 points behind the Colorado Avalanche with Colorado. This is how crazy it is. There's 11 points separating Carolina and Columbus and Toronto. All the teams in the Eastern Conference have been separated by 11 points. There's 8 points separate, and it could be 10 because Colorado has a game in hand, separating the top team and the second team in the Western Conference. Amazing. That's how crazy Colorado's season is. And Dallas' season has been fantastic. They've got 21 regulation wins, more than any other team in the National Hockey League, not named the Colorado Avalanche. So they've been really good.
Yes, and they're statistically, you know, pick a category, they're top five in basically everything. But the Avalanche are 10-0-1 in their last 11, winners of eight straight after, after your favorite moment to finish off the LA Kings last night. Empty
the
netter.
Goal after the empty net goal.
Goal after the empty netter. Cookie Monster Makar just couldn't resist, right?
did you see the, it was Forsberg in net, right, for LA? Yes. Did you see his reaction after, like, okay, it's 4-2, game's over, and then there's a play to go, and then his reaction is got to be kidding me.
Well, speaking of goalies, tip of the cap to Scott Ratzlaff last night. Nicely done for him. His first start with the Amerks. He's been up and backing up Levi for a little while now. They were into Cleveland trying to avenge a Saturday home overtime loss against the Monsters. And look at this 2-on-1 save in OT.
Overtime.
Ratzlaff with a terrific read. All this after last-minute heartbreak in regulation where the Amerks lost a 3-2 lead. And guess what? They indeed flipped the script, won it just like the Monsters did in their building on Saturday, went down and got the game winner from Jack Rathbone. And now it's always tricky to read these situations like, are the Amerks going well or are they struggling? What's happening here? They have points in 9 of their last 10. They've gone 5-1-4 in that stretch to remain in second in the division, 3 points off the division lead.
You know what's funny about that goal by Rathbone, as we just showed it on MSG, is it wasn't that great of a location to shoot the puck. Mm-hmm. There's nobody in front of the net. It's 3-on-3. He's high in the slot. But sometimes you get a feeling, you got that confidence to say, you know what, I'm going to take that shot. And he beats the goalie clean, right? And it was, it was right after Ratzlaff had made the save on the 2-on-1. There was a face-off. They get possession. They go up. It was a fun game. And I'm happy for Scott Ratzlaff. Look, I feel like he has been a goalie that has really matured and developed well under the Sabres, tutelage and in the, come into camp and development camp and then went down to Jacksonville to DCHL, played really well, earned his starts, earned his call up, and now is earning that chance. So that's been really good for him to be able to get that and get his first win.
And a continuing shout out to Zach Jones, who leads the AHL among defensemen. He's less than a handful of points off the actual AHL scoring lead, but he's had a monster season of production from the blue line. And Isaac Rosén again scored last night. He's got 13 goals in 16 games this year. There's only been one game this year with the Amerks where he didn't get a point. It has been remarkable as they win last night in Cleveland. They'll resume action on Saturday against the Marlies in Toronto. We have a busy building on Friday night. We want you to be at KeyBank Center because WWE SmackDown is returning. Again, it's this Friday, January 2nd. Your favorite stars are in action like Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes. Visit KeyBankCenter.com to grab your tickets today. We have a lot of catching up to do, not only on everything Sabres, but everything across the NHL. It's all tied together, and it's next on Sabres Live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. And Paul, you said this like a month ago. They needed to go on a 7-plus, even 10-game win streak to get back into it. Well, they're at 9. They're getting close.
Well, I was wrong because I did say 10.
Did say 10.
If you go by points percentage, they're in. Right now, they are tied with Florida in points percentage. Florida has the tiebreaker, so they would be 7th. Buffalo would be 8th. Washington, just percentage points behind, in 9th.
They have played one more game, yeah.
Okay. So I was off by one game. That's why, as you know, that's why I always go by points percentage, because it gives you a better idea, because it takes games in hand out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the end of the year, of course, you don't have to go by points percentage anymore because everybody will have played 82 games. But during the season, I think it's a better barometer just to go by points percentage. Then you don't got to say, well, they have two games in hand or they've played two more or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Points percentage takes care of that for you. So it took a 9-game winning streak to put them in playoff position by points percentage.
And Paul, I mean, like this, we've talked about this both off air, on air. I mean, this run they've been on has been really something. It's maybe most impressive two things. It's the exact same team that Kevin Adams built. Jarmo Kekalainen has not actually gotten to put a stamp yet on this organization. And it's been predominantly on the road, Paul. Like, this is a team that could not win road games, and now where we sit, they're 8-9-2 on the road. They're not above 500, but if that's going to be like around what you are on the road, and especially when what you are at home, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, and they started off 0-5-2 on the road. So, you know, I think I was saying this earlier to Joe and Nate, that if they make the playoffs, I think the game to look back at would be the game on the road in Detroit, where they were behind 4-1. It was when Dahlin had gotten back from Sweden, and they were behind 4-1, and they came back and won that game on the road, you know, where they hadn't won on the road. And I think that might be the game to point to should they make the playoffs. And, you know, we'll see. It's still a long ways to go. I mean, we haven't even hit the halfway point of the season yet. And that's, you know, what they've been talking about, you know, when I was on the pregame with Bo Byram last night. And he talked about it. Lindy Ruff also talked about it in his segment on the pregame, that they got to keep going. I mean, it just took 9 straight wins just to barely get into the playoff spot. Well, now you have to stay there. You still have half a season to go. So you still can't go on a 6-7-8 game losing streak. If you do, you're going to ruin everything that you made up here. As Bo Byram says, they have to continue to play the brand of hockey that they're playing right now. And are you going to lose at some point? Sure you are. I mean, they're not going to win every game for the rest of the season. But it's what do you do after the loss? Okay, you lost a game. You can't lose 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 5 or whatever. You have to get back to the way you've been playing, the way you know you can play, the way you finally have figured out that you need to play to win, which is the way Lindy Ruff has been trying to convince them for 2 years now to play, and they finally seem convinced that you know, they're going to do that. And you know, so that's the thing. All right, let's say you lose in Dallas, which they could. Dallas is a pretty darn good team. Okay, what do you do in Columbus then? You know, do you get it right back and go? Or you lost one game. even if you lost two, okay. But you gotta stop it there. Because now that you've got in playoff position, now the trick is you have to remain there.
Right, and Paul, we were talking about this, me and Derek, of just, you know, that's going to be the most important part. Because you're going to have a lot of fans that have bad memories of 18 and 19 where they won 10 in a row, and that was earlier in the season. They had built up some goodwill, and it just all collapsed. And I think even in that season as well, right after the win streak, they lose 5 in a row. And you brought up the schedule coming up. Like, let's say for argument's sake, they do lose to Dallas. But it's Columbus, Vancouver, and the Rangers on the road. And the reason why I say that, especially for them, they're bad at home. And then they've got 5 straight home games in January. Like, the January schedule looks good for them to maybe keep this run going. Not necessarily the win streak itself going, but just the good run of play. And, yeah, I mean, like, it's ultimately the same team that was built and the same team that started off poorly this year. But there's also good signs as well. Guys like Jason Zucker, you know, starting to practice and hopefully going to be back in the lineup here pretty soon.
I think he probably could have played last night, but why mess with success? I mean, and he understands that. He was talking when he was back at practice, and he was kidding that, well, my team doesn't need me anymore. They're 7-0 without me. And
fair.
You know, he was kind of kidding around. But he understands, you know, as what coaches are going to do. Why would you mess with the line? Who are you taking out, you know, to put him in? So maybe he's got to wait his turn, even though he played really, really well, you know, before he got hurt again. And by the way, while you were speaking, I looked it up. As we mentioned, they were 0-5-2 to start the season on the road. In their last, that was their 6th in a row on the road. And in their last 12 on the road, they're 8-4.
I mean, yeah, they completely turned it around with this win streak.
Yeah.
Right. So that's awesome.
And not to mention, though, Paul, one of the biggest things that I'm starting to look at through the progression of this season is the year-to-year jump that happened this season with Matias Samuelsson. The guy has been everything for the Sabres this year, and it's starting to get to, like, okay, he was good when he got the contract extension, but this is something else that we haven't seen from Samuelsson this consistently in his game, and it's starting to rival Tage Thompson's ascension into being one of the top players on this team. Now Samuelsson's taking this kind of equal important jump that is really helping to stabilize the defensive core.
I'm glad you said that, because he did play very well when he first started with the Sabres. And I had wondered out loud before this season started, when there were quite a few fans that wanted him bought out. Well, if he was bought out, first of all, he would have been on payroll for 10 years, which is not good business.
Oh, yeah, nope.
But he did play very well in the beginning. He got a contract extension too early, I think, and that was one of the minuses against Kevin Adams, and it wasn't all minuses. I always like to be fair and say a lot of his trades were good. His free agent signings, Zucker was good, but some of the others weren't great. It's kind of the inactivity. But anyway, you know, they really mishandled their young players in that group, and he was one of them. He only spent 50-ish games in the AHL. He came up, and I wondered out loud, are injuries, have they just taken its toll on his body? Is he going to ever be able to get back? Well, that question has been answered. He's gotten back and more. In my estimation, he's been Buffalo's best defenseman from start to finish in this season. Now, Rasmus Dahlin is probably their best player, and you're saying, well, how can one be the best defenseman and the other the best player? They play two totally different games. And last night, I made a mistake last night. In the first period, I was kind of ripping into that pair. And what I should have been saying is, remember, there was the three-day break where no team could practice and no team could play. Well, Dahlin went two more.
Right.
You know, where before the regular Sabres play, they had the morning skate against the Boston Bruins. Dahlin just basically got to St. Louis and it's less play. And it showed in the first period. That pair really got beaten pretty badly for two goals. But then, in the final 40 minutes, they were Samuelsson and Dahlin again. I mean, they recovered totally from it. And that's when I started thinking, you know what? I was too hard on them in the first period. I know they were not good on the first two goals. Neither was Lyon. But I think the thing you have to realize, too, is the last goal scored by the St. Louis Blues was at the 8:09 mark of the first period. Lyon slammed the door after that. That pair slammed the door after that. Samuelsson made a great play on the Tuck tying goal in the second period. Again, erasing a play, getting up ice, getting the puck to Tuck, and it's in the net, you know, joining the play. So I think that's all that was in the first period, is just, you know, Dahlin needed to ramp up again, you know, and get going, and he did. And, you know, and I'll say it again for people that weren't listening earlier, it doesn't really matter when you look at the whole game that Lion, some would say Lion should have had the first two goals. I don't disagree with that. But he also slammed the door starting at 8:09 of the first period and made some great saves, including when he had to scramble back in the net right before Fretz got the empty netter, and he did it without his catching glove. He lost that, you know, and you know, that's Lion. He scratches and claws to make saves. Lukin in the same way. There were some people didn't like the Lukin goal. I got that right away against Boston. But it's the only goal he gave up. So it's a 4-1 win. He made some big saves along the way. What does it matter if he let in a goal from the red line? It doesn't matter. He let in one goal.
I mean,
that's fine. If he lets in one goal from the red line every single game and that's the only goal he lets in, he's going to be a really good goalie.
I would at that point be looking at coaching and be like, guys, shoot from the red line. Forget conventional with this guy. Just shoot from the red line if this is happening.
And Lion kind of did the same thing. It was like, all right, the first two goals, maybe you don't like them, but that was it. He slammed the door after that was over, and the Sabres were able to come back and win the hockey game.
Paul, I'm glad, and real quick on this, I'm glad you brought up the goaltending on this, because who would you play here against Dallas? I mean, Lion played really well against St. Louis after those two bad goals. Lukanen's playing pretty well here. It does seem like there's a two-goalie rotation that seems to be working again. Who'd have thunk it when you have two goalies? And again, it's unfortunate how it happened, Ellis with the concussion, but it is something that I'm going to be curious about. Who gets the start in net? Who would you put in net if you had to make the decision, Paul?
I'm getting the feeling you're right about the two-goaltender rotation. I didn't like Lukanen starting against the Bruins, even though he might have had his best game in his last game against the Devils, a road victory for him, his first road win of the year. But I think one of the reasons this team has gone on this streak, and before the streak started, what we were sitting here saying, it's like, pick a goalie and go with him. At that point, I didn't care who they picked. Call up Levi if you want to. I don't care who. Let Scott Ratzlaff do it. Whatever.
Oh, boy. Just pick somebody.
Pick somebody and let them be – treat them like the number one goaltender and let him – because none of the three goalies could get on a roll. So let them get on a roll, and he did that with Lion, and Lion responded. Lion hadn't won a game since the Toronto game in October, and now he's won every game he's played in since. And he won all the games on the streak except the one in New Jersey where it was time for Lukanen to play, and that was fine. But coming out of break, it's like, well, why are you breaking up what's working here? This has worked for you for this winning streak, which at the time was 7. Why are you changing it? What are you doing? Well, it worked. Lukanen played and beat the Bruins 4-1. And before the Sabres left on the trip, I asked Lindy Ruff for the 3-game road trip. I said, are both goalies going to play? And he said, well, I'm not going to give away my goaltending, but he said, probably. He goes, you'd probably be right with that. So it seems like maybe what you're saying is true. Maybe they are going to start alternating now. But I thought he took an awfully big chance. When your team's on a roll, it kind of like the Zucker thing. I think Zucker might have been able to play yesterday, but why change anything in your forwards? You love that last line, the Dunn line. I mean, they're in the offensive zone the whole game. They're softening up the D by hitting them every time they get a chance. So why switch it up? Now, Zucker might get the opportunity to play in Dallas because they're still doing this thing with Greenway. They're managing him. And Greenway, I think, has been better because of it. I think, you know, he's playing his best hockey right now. So this might be a management game for Greenway where it's time for him to come out. That might be the opportunity to put Zucker in. So, yeah, it's a long-winded answer here, but I think you're right. I think maybe they're going to start alternating here and see if that works. So far, so good. So far, each goaltender has played coming out of the break, and both have won the hockey game.
We'll see what happens tomorrow night. It's another 8 p.m. start time, 7 p.m. pregame as they're at Dallas. Paul, thanks so much for jumping on with us, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay, I was going to say Happy New Year, but if we're going to talk again tomorrow, then I will wait.
I was going to say, well, I'll definitely at least talk to you tomorrow before pregame, but we might. If not,
if we don't
Happy
have
New
you
Year.
On, I'll at least text you, and then you can ignore it.
Well, I wasn't talking to you when I said Happy New Year. I was talking to your partner here,
Paul.
I'm sure you would really think I'm talking to you.
Well, I mean, I'm part of the show, Paul. Maybe you're talking to both of us.
You are?
Well, you're not. You're not anymore, Hamilton. We got to get to the break.
Bye. See you, Paul.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline.
We will also see, by the way, if the Sabres can get to 10 games in a row, which would be for the fourth time in history. The last time, 18-19, they also won 10 games in a row in 06-07 and 83-84. We'll see if they can do it for a fourth time in franchise history tomorrow when they're at Dallas. We'll take a quick time out here. We'll also read some of your tweets as well. See if you're buying into the Sabres when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, yeah. Let's go. Oh, ho-hum. Nine. Is that a meme of a bad quarterback? Is it a mere number? No. It is currently the Buffalo Sabres warpath.
Man, they can't lose right now. They are even getting like some of the craziest puck luck I've seen. Of just like, oh, that didn't go in. Phenomenal. Empty net goal. Great. The last 30 seconds of that game, because once Krebs puts the empty netter in, it's over with. Unbelievable run of events where I am just both glued to the TV. I'm gripping whatever close to me because it looks like, oh no, they're going to let this one go. Lion, I thought I was with Joe, Sneaky Joe. I thought he was going to get a tripping call on that. Doesn't. And then 5 seconds later, Peyton Krebs from basically across the ice.
That would have been icing if he misses it.
Yeah. Empty netter, 4-2 win. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Just, man, they're so much fun. And Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive, whatever you're looking for. You'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. They're a genuine joy to watch. They're getting contributions from, it feels like, everybody. They're grinding games out. They're also just... at time, you know, it's a 4-2 game and it takes the empty netter to get to four. But also, I would at least say definitely these past three games, the shot totals, the shot numbers compared to the other teams, they are smothering them.
Puck possession.
Man, it's been so much fun to watch. There are signs that maybe it's a bit fluky. And, well, yeah, I mean, I think any 9-10 game win streak is in some ways fluky. You're probably going to regress somewhat to a median. But I don't really care. I'm having a blast. We heard Paul Hamilton on earlier today with Joe and Nate, and we'll talk to Paul in about an hour and a half at 11:30, you know, talking about point percentage. Right now with that, they would be in the playoffs. They're right now tied for that last wild card spot. I think if Florida would have lost yesterday, they would have been in it going into the New Year's Eve game tomorrow against Dallas. But it's just it's been so much fun, and it is somewhat funny. I think no doubt that this streak did start when Kevin Adams was still the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Jarmo Kekäläinen has not made a single move outside of sending some guys down to Rochester because Jason Zucker got healthy. You know, it is the team Kevin Adams did build. Like, ultimately, that is objectively a fact. And yet, I think most people would acknowledge they probably continue to go on the streak because they do fire Adams. Something has changed in that building. There is much more consistency in the performances. There does seem to be a natural flow with the lineup. Guys seem to be in much better spirits. Obviously, winning is going to help that, of course. But it does almost just feel like a specter around the organization was, you know, in a sense, exercised. And now they're able to just kind of play for it. It still feels like they're just playing free.
And there's a lot that has to be talked about with the Sabres in terms of how everything is going. By the way, 803-0550 if you want to get in on this. Because the idea of today is, are you bought in? Are you bought in on this crazy season? Or are you still keeping them at an arm's length? That is the question we put up on Twitter. It is the question that I really have for today based on the vibes of it. Because, and weirdly enough, they've won 9 games in a row, Zach. They're not officially in a playoff spot.
No, and that's the thing.
They're in ninth.
Yeah, Paul was saying it based off of point percentage, but if you look at the standings now, they're not in it yet. It is funny, though. Paul's entire premise of this now, like a month ago, was they're going to need to go on like a 7-plus game win streak to even have a chance.
And the
we're
way
at
you
nine,
looked at them,
and they're still not in.
And the way you looked at them, there was no way you saw this coming.
Right.
I do think there's a lot of things to theorize about this team. I do think there's going to be a lot of discussion about Adams, the role that he had, and how it all of a sudden is working now. Because that's the thing that's the true mystery in all this. They've won 9 games in a row. They're playing defensively responsible hockey. And all of a sudden, it just turns into, yeah, this is the same team that started out and ended up in last place in the Eastern Conference. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Because the streak starts while Adams is still employed.
What are they, 3-0 when he's fired?
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 straight when
they
fired.
It's 3 straight when they get there, but it's also, you started 0-3 on that Western trip.
Mm-hmm.
Then the picture of Vecna's clock is on social media, and all of a sudden, the Sabres start racing off to wins. Adams is then let go. And here we are. 6 more wins later, after Kekkonen was brought into the fold officially as the GM, they're still not losing. So there is a little bit of a mystery into, okay, what gives? This is the same team from earlier this year. This is the same team that started 0-3. This is the same team that lost 5 in a row. This is the same team that had 4 of 5 games go to overtime, and they only won the one in a shootout. So they couldn't solve overtime. This is that same team. What's different? And when you watch the game contextually, it is better defense. When you watch the game, you are seeing a little bit more balance. When you watch the game, it is everything that you're looking for in terms of cohesion. Everything that you're looking for in terms of your star players are stepping back up. Because they start the year, and Tage is not doing well. Tuck isn't doing well. Dahlin is not doing well. We find out really why. He leaves and comes back, and he's mentally recharged to a point where this isn't an accident anymore. The Sabres are playing at a 66% win percentage since he came back.
I mean, we finally just got their first win of the season without Dahlin.
And they finally got their first win in a couple of years without Dahlin. They are playing now with a sense of cohesion. And I think that that was a good time that that was to happen. Yes, you have an opportunity to win that game because they're streaking already. When Dahlin's out against Boston, they're streaking already. But you also haven't beaten Boston yet this year. They've got you at 0-2 on the season. So you have that problem. You have Dahlin out. Okay, perfect mix. But you're also red hot. And then you stay red hot. Mattias Samuelsson makes one of the most complete plays that you're going to make in a season.
Yep.
Walls off Morgan Geekie, who is second in the league in goals, by the way, for some strange reason. I still refuse to believe this person is the second.
He hasn't had like a run of goals either in a little while. He's somewhat cooled off, nothing crazy, but
he's still there.
He's still second in goals.
But you wall off Morgan Geekie, not just spring up the offensive play, you take the puck in for the rush, and it leads to a goal seconds later. Directly responsible. Bowen Byram and Owen Power, guys that have been much maligned, I would say, Power more so than Byram in terms of its criticism. Byram sometimes makes bigger mistakes and is not as highlighted as Power is.
but Byram doesn't have that contract. They are having highlight games now. Ottawa. Byram comes up with all 3 points. 2 goals, 1 assist. Power. These last 2 games, he's really carried the defensive responsibility on this team. And I do think that I think they just need to focus on him being the 5-on-5 and PK specialist. Like,
yeah, I'm cool with him really not being much cool, on the power play.
I'm cool with the more offensive defenseman in Byram being the guy on the second power play unit. That's a nitpick. I'm not going to worry about that. But each of them has stepped up lately. Michael Kesselring, it looks like, okay, this trade's kind of looking like, thank goodness you got Josh Doan. He's starting to get his legs under him finally because he starts the year with injury. He gets banged up again just as him and Power are starting to feel a little bit of a flow, and he has to work himself back into it. Not a mistake that it takes a couple games after injuries to get back into the right feel of things. You're getting these good things happening now. Noah Ostlund is becoming a very interesting note in this season. Because when do the rumblings of Adams being removed really start? It's when Ostlund's sent down again. And Lindy Ruff says publicly the only thing wrong with his game is that he was sent down. And then, hours later, I guess you can call it, half a day later, there is, oh, Adams might be on the out.
Yeah, it really may have been the final straw.
Ostlund might have been the final straw. And he's not just playing well defensively, he's now putting some points up on the board. And it comes to a human element that you brought up when we were talking before the show. And I want you to kind of share that one of what is different about them.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it right at the rip of kind of like the idea, and I know we've got a tweet about it as well, so we'll get to that as well. But I think there was really something here, the human element of just I know I think Mike Shope has brought this up. We've talked about it a little bit with the Bills, but I think especially with the Sabres. When you know management sucks, when you know, and this could be true of your job, of their job, whatever, when you know your bosses are not giving their best or doing their best, shouldn't be in their position, what have you, it is hard to go to work and to keep trying, to keep doing your best, or even just put your best forward because, well, it may not mean anything. You know, my boss isn't doing his best. He doesn't deserve to be here. They're not going to do anything to me. I'm fine. I think it's a very human thing. I think as well, you've mentioned it too, last year, 4 months, you had to go into work knowing we're not making the playoffs. This does not matter. And for some of them, maybe I'm just putting my career at risk. I might get hurt. These are essentially exhibition games in many cases.
It's just demoralizing knowing that anything right. I do out there isn't really going to matter for 4 months last year.
Where I think, and mainly just because of how you see how Yarmo gets the job, there was probably feelings within the building, players. I mean, if anyone's been on a sports team, it doesn't really matter what the team is actually doing. The players will talk. The players will have their own feelings, their own theories. As many of these guys will probably say, no, we don't even think about it. Yes, they do. At least some of them. Yarmo's hired.
Hockey players are very media trained.
Right.
And by that, I mean they say nothing.
They will be boring in when they talk to the media. And so, like you see, like Yarmo gets hired as ultimately he's going to just help out. He doesn't really have like a serious official role. He's more just going to be a consultant that comes in and just kind of helps out and is kind of an earpiece for Adams to kind of get the best idea. You don't think some of these guys saw that and went, well, Yarmo's going to be our GM in 5 minutes. Why isn't he just our GM? And then as the rumblings start to come, and that's the thing too, they start to win, and even when that happens, there's already rumblings that he might get fired when they return from the road trip. I mean, he's fired when they've won 3 in a row, their first time winning that many games in a row all season. And so I think there is something here of just, that's why I mentioned, like there was a specter around the organization that they were able to get rid of. I think that's what it is for a lot of these guys, is just now it feels more serious. I think even for some of these players, it actually feels like they're a real hockey team. They played a part in this. That is not
right
to exonerate the players on the ice. They absolutely played a part in this. Lindy Ruff, the head coach, has played a part in this. But this also points to what many people in hockey have been saying for a few years now about the Sabres, which is they're talented. I kind of don't know why they're so bad.
The analytics were really big on them this year. In terms of season projections, the model, everything like that,
where everyone's like, okay, it got to a point, Zach, where you and I kept talking about this. I even brought it up on air at some point when no one had appetite to talk about the Sabres because it was Bills season, everything like that. And I said, I'm starting to get scared. Right, they're all too bullish.
Yeah, people are believing, and it's people who have been very – they've been in the know on this stuff. They've been able to get it right and kind
it's
of –
that the Sabres keep matching the projection models. Mm-hmm. And, like, we used to get mad when the analytic models would say, no, the Sabres aren't a playoff team, and we're all like, what are you talking about? They look fine out there. And then they would ultimately be proven right. We, as a Sabres community, have probably embraced it more than others because we keep seeing, yeah, they've got us out of the playoffs. That sounds about right. And this year, it was, no, they're going to take third in the Atlantic. They're going to be a wild card team. They're gonna do things this year. And we're all like, okay, sure. Are you okay with that? Like, Sabres Twitter is a fun ride with that because you'll get immediate loyalty from people, but it's almost as a joke to start the year. And now it's turning around because the projection models really were at, you can't consistently be this bad with goaltending and special teams.
No, right. It was you were going to regress positively to, okay, yeah, you're going to be average at that.
You're going
to
be, if you get
at worst, you're going to be average.
If you get average from both of these things, you'll be fine. And look what's happening. 803-0550 is the number to call as we get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia. What's New York's number one Kia dealer? Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to John in Batavia. John, welcome to the Extra Point Show. What you got for us?
Hello, thanks for the show. I'm hesitantly saying yes, I believe in this team. I've been having some arguments with my friend and my brother who was kind of burnt out, and they remember the 10-game win streak back in 2018, but that 10-game win streak, that was a result of hot goaltending. There was a lot of overtime and shootout victories. This is more legit. I mean, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs this year, but at the very least, they should. At the very least, be a few points short. I expect this team to be exciting and keep it interesting. But I have very cautious optimism. Do you agree? I'll hang up and listen.
John, thanks for the call, man. I think that's. I will not disparage anyone that looks to 2018, 2019, that 10-game win streak, and goes, "No, I've been burned before." I totally get it. And that was earlier in the season where you were building up leg room there. I mean, like that was done in November, and you could have a bit of a rough run and then pick it back up. Like this is, you know, December, January, we're getting towards, it's still February, but we're getting towards the Olympic break.
We're launching to the halfway point. We're almost there.
That's when this team goes on that run. But John brings up a good point that Derek, me and you talked about a lot last week. That 10-game win streak, 7 of the 10 wins are overtime or shootout. Now we're at the point 3 of the 9 wins of this streak were overtime or shootout.
And now you're looking at a different perspective of now they're showing that they can win these games in regulation, a bugaboo that they had to start the year, as a matter of fact. Some of their overtime losses were not the scrappy, we stole a point. It was the we gave it up.
Right, and that's where when me and Paul were talking about that, when we were doing it at the time, we're both like, I hate getting greedy because we've talked about it for years of get loser points. Now they're getting loser points, but we're like, but not like that.
But you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. You're not stealing a point on the road. You were up 3-1. You gave up three ultimately unanswered goals to lose in overtime. What are we doing here?
Or even the games that you managed to win that ultimately are like the shootout wins or something like that, or even some of the overtime wins. Even one of these wins that starts it, actually, the first win of the streak, Edmonton, they score with less than 2 seconds left?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And you have to then grab it back, which you do almost immediately in overtime, actually. But those overtime losses, they were also your big players, your top billing guys are making catastrophic mistakes in 3-on-3. Whether it's having a blown tire, flubbing on a chance, there's the Quinn and Power both not getting a shot on goal on a what ultimately turns into like a 3-on-1 situation, because then Power follows it up and it just like loses off of his stick. There's Thompson trying to get too greedy at one point on one of them, like Quinn passing up another shot. Like there were a lot of mistakes being made in those overtime losses, or even the ones that they managed to pull off. But the OTLs, they were really catastrophic to a point where it's like, okay, maybe we don't go to overtime anymore, guys. Like, I've had my fill.
We've done enough of this.
We've done enough. And the one that they win, because it's hilarious that they had five games that go to overtime in a row, but the one that they win, they're surviving against the Capitals. They take a penalty in overtime. Yet Luukkonen spinning on his head, making sure the game stays alive, and then they win it in a shootout. But the things that they're fixing from earlier in the year, they were allergic to winning away from KeyBank Center.
I was about to say, I'm like, we're not even bringing it up, but most of this win streak, and still my favorite part about it, is the fact that it has effectively fixed their road woes. I'm not asking for a team to be well over 500 on the road. Like, if you're as dominant as they are at home, and they are one of the best, not just in the East, but in the NHL this year at home, but they were equally one of the worst on the road, and they've all but effectively fixed that just in this win streak alone.
It's kind of funny because you look at two teams with this on opposite ends of the spectrum. The Sabres, despite winning six games on the road, are now like turning into a middle or bottom of like below average road record.
I think they're 8-9-2.
They are 8-9-2.
Yeah.
And they have the best points percentage in the Eastern Conference at home. Then you look over at the New York Rangers, a team that has one less point than Buffalo, though they've also played three more games. But at home, they're 5-10-3.
Yeah, they can't win.
The Rangers have the best road record in the Eastern Conference. Nearly the NHL, but Colorado refuses to lose games in regulation.
They just don't lose, yeah.
They're
incredible.
No, they're obnoxious. They have two regulation losses the entire year. Both of them are on the road. They have yet to lose in regulation in front of their own fans.
That's incredible. 16-0-2.
Absolutely wild stuff.
Incredible.
But the Sabres are not just winning in front of the fans now. Now they're winning on the road. And now they're showing that they can be a real boy. Puppet stage is over. Pinocchio's a real boy. We're hanging out here. But the damage that they did to start the year, we're having all this kind of fun with them, right? They could still very much not make the playoffs because if the season were to end today based on points percentage, they would make it. But no, they would not, actually. Excuse me. They still would be out.
I mean, even before this win streak starts, they lose three. They lose the first three of that road trip.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, we've talked about it. They did a lot of damage themselves. They weren't even a particularly bad team. They were kind of flirting with 500 really up until the streak started.
Right.
And but, yeah, now though, they sit at 20, 14, 4, 44 points. They're right there. They have now at least made it to where I think even fans that aren't fully bought in, and again, 803-0550, the number to call, give your thoughts on where you sit with the Sabres. Are you all in on this with nine wins in a row and the January schedule looking pretty juicy for the Sabres to at least kind of continue their winning ways? Maybe not necessarily get their streak to 15 or anything like that. They got to go to Dallas tomorrow, but at least in the sense of, no, this could still look very well. But they did do some damage, and now they've righted the ship, and they haven't even made a move yet. That is still what gets me, outside of the road wins being kind of, you know, the road woes being fixed, that is still maybe I think the most exciting thing is that this is the exact same team. Nothing on paper has changed yet with the change at GM. That gets me real excited going forward. 803-0550, again, the number two call. We'll get more on the Sabres at 11:30 with Paul Hamilton. We've also got primetime players coming up at the top of the hour, but in between all of that, it's your time to shine. Jump in. Give us your thoughts on the Sabres. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.